So it's been a while since Chet and I have done a podcast of just me and Chet.
It's nice to be back with you.
Yeah, how are you? tell me about you, Chet. Tell me about your life.
Great.
I'm sitting here facing lunch, and I'm like, I can't eat it because then I'll start chewing on a podcast.
Yeah, that doesn't work well for the podcast.
I know, sorry. And it's a simple peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'll be like Mr. Ed, you know, making – nobody's going to understand me, and my mouth will be
right. That's a pretty old reference.
Yeah.
You're younger
than I'm wondering how many people will understand Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
Let us know if you remember that show. I remember it as a kid. It was not a good show.
No.
But that's not what we're talking about today. So Chet and I are back together to do a podcast on something that we've seen a lot of demand for. And I'm thrilled about it because it's my a lot of my career has been in sales. And it is selling to customers. And there's all different ways of selling to customers. You could be, you know, retail selling, business to consumer. You can be selling business to business. Small dollar amount, big dollar amount, multi-million dollar amount. I always, you know, my folks, I love those pictures that say, you know, that I guess they technically are memes that say like, this is what my friends think I do. This is what my parents think I do. This is what I tell my girlfriend or wife that I do. And this is what I really do. You know, this is what my dog thinks I do. I've had people be like, you know, especially family members, like, what do you do for a living? And IT sales is not very hard to explain, but to older people, it can be.
Yeah. So you're selling computers out of the back of your car?
No, it was funny. I was like, well, you know what, Ma? Just like you're trying to sell middle school students on playing the recorder or music or, you know, had them buying into that there's value in understanding, learning the scale or learning how instruments are played. Like, you're selling what you know and what you're experienced at. We're all selling something to someone, you know, we have an audience.
Right. And I think, you know, in many ways, even the ideas that you have, even how you interact with people that you know, even within your family, you're sort of selling them on what you want to do, your ideas, what you think is best for, you know, best for them, for you, for each other. So yeah, we're kind of constantly selling in many ways.
Mm-hmm. And what I thought was interesting in what's become a higher demand for Amplified is our training and our approach with improvisation to selling. So I come from a world where sales to me was all about a sort of a process, right? There's marketing. Think of this big funnel, right? Whether it's a water funnel, whatever you want to think of. For those of you not in sales that are listening, you know, you may hear a lot a sales funnel. The top of the funnel is going after your target market, or some people call it your ideal customer profile. You have to deliver the right message and the right value to the person who has a need or has a pain point, get them interested in your product or your service, engage with them, seller to buyer, understand them, solve the problem, understand how they're going to buy it, engage and buy. So for me, it was, you know, it was all process based, and whether it was getting to the prospect and then engaging with the prospect to qualify and understand their pain point, demonstrate how we solve that pain point, validate it, customer references, business to business selling usually follows this type of process. And then there's a whole nother process of getting a product or solution ordered from another business. And then going through the purchase process is always kind of crazy. But we talk, you know, there's so much to be learned with how to approach selling. And how to approach your customers. And you could be selling coffee, right? You could be starting a coffee company. I just happen to know a friend of mine whose sister started a coffee company. She's trying to sell coffee. We're selling training, right? We're selling corporate training. But you could be selling coffee to somebody on the street. You could be selling, skincare product. And reaching the market is a challenge, and then engaging the market can be a challenge as well, right? When you're engaged in your customers, they say in sales, and especially business to business sales, this was a stat I learned in my career. And one of the things I saw in the business to business sales world, a successful sales rep succeeds about 12.5% to 13.5% of the time.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty high failure rate. So we get used to saying no, like hearing.
Getting said no to. Right.
You'd think that would hurt egos.
And well, I think it can. It certainly can, you know, and I've even engaged, and I think we've engaged even with some clients around not getting thrown by no. You know, I know we talk a lot, and even in some of the podcast stuff we've done around the power of yes versus the power of no, and sort of what that means for you to move ideas ahead and to be a good team leader, to be part of a great team and to be a leader. But I think on the other hand, it's also how do you get affected by that? Because there is a power to being said no to a lot. And so, okay, I remember working once with a street team for a company where they get told no a lot. And, you know, you could almost see it, their enthusiasm and the way they would then approach the 10th person that they right. interacted with after they've gotten nine no's. And
they're out selling energy drinks, right? Like,
yeah.
This was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, this is for Red Bull, for energy drinks. And, like, so if they let those no's get them down, they're almost more likely to get more no's because they weren't even approaching it as confidently. They were almost expecting the no and apologizing for even, you know, interacting with somebody. So there's also a how do you rebound from a no? Because in sales, certainly right. you're going to get no a lot. And a lot of what you do, you're going to get told no. I think even just in any career where there's a boss involved or whatever, you may have a great idea that you think is great and you're told no. And some of it is how do you react to that? How do you, you know, don't let it throw you, particularly if you have a great idea or a great product or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the power of no is, it can be detrimental to salespeople. I've known people who left the career because it's not for everybody. It is challenging. Sure. It is hard, you know. I liked how Carol once said to her marketing people, you know, who were complaining that sales got paid so much. She's like, well, I'll fully support you to go do sales. And they're like, oh, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And you're right, because we get said no to a lot. One of the things I found to be valuable is the more you can understand your customer prior to really engaging in the conversation on the product and the service, really qualifying and understanding them, the conversation, the sale becomes a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. You'll understand why you're getting the no more, or you'll understand how to get, you know, the great book, How to Get to Yes, or Getting to Yes, right? You understand what makes this person tick, what makes their pain point really challenging and to them, and the ability to connect on that emotional level of like, how can I solve this problem and correct the emotional pain with the issue with the product is huge.
I agree with you. And I think you're also creating empathy when you do that. And I think, you know, a lot of what we stress is listening. Listen and you know, because you have your five sales points or your three sales, whatever they are. And I think so many times I've even been when someone's trying to sell to me, I sometimes quickly realize they're not really listening to what I'm saying. They're kind of waiting to say their next sales piece. And so I'm giving them something to work off of. And they're not really taking it and doing anything with it. So they're missing, they're going from a good interaction. They're missing the idea, the ability to take it to a great interaction simply because they're not listening to me. Yeah. And I think when you are listening, you're more likely to be able to yes and off the other person and maybe customize a solution or at least realize what their real pain point is and that your other two sales points don't even really matter that much to them. So you really need to focus on this one. So I think that's a huge part. And I think you're saying kind of the same thing. When you do that, you're not only yes anding and maybe discovering ideas to solve the issue, you are also at least demonstrating to them that I'm someone that cares about you and I'm trying to solve something for you. Yes, right. I'm trying to sell you something, but I'm doing it based off of understanding where you're coming from. So I think it's a huge, huge tool that not everybody employs that is very effective.
You're highlighting two things, and this is why we at Amplified are really excited to do sales team trainings. Not just I've hired improvisation training for my teamwork, right? For my team to get better. And it was a sales marketing team working together, collaborating, you know, building trust with one another. That's something that we think about. And for everyone that's been listening to Amplified for some time, you're in this mindset of team. Well, think of a seller and a buyer now being a team, and they're doing a dance. And in that dance is, you know, as Chet mentioned, right? You mentioned two things, Chet. It's qualifying the customer, understanding to create empathy, and then maybe perhaps objection handling, right? When the customer starts to try to poke holes in your product or service and say, hey, this might not work for me because X, right? That's a form of saying yes, but, or no, we can't, or no, we can't go with your product. And this is why improvisation for actual sales training, for, you know, QBR sales, you know, sales kickoff training is a great opportunity to get your sellers in a mindset of yes and. Because what Chet just mentioned, and it's very true, when we hear no as humans, and salespeople do this also the same, it does. It's a shot to the ego. We do shut down. We stop listening. So taking the mindset and the approach to say yes and addressing the objection, right? Yes, and we hear this a lot that we're more expensive and our customers get more value from the premium service above our competition, where they can sleep better at night. Their, you know, issues are 5 times less than the market. Sure, there's maybe a script and knowledge that you have to have about your product, your service, but it's about not when you say yes to your customer, your customer will then say yes to you, right? So the value.
You're right. And even in the way you just phrased that, saying yes, we hear that a lot, and our customers get more value out of it, you're still acknowledging their point of view and saying that you understand that, and here's why you are maybe more expensive or what your customers get out of it. You're working with them. Where I think your knee-jerk reaction would be like, well, no, that shouldn't be an issue because we deliver so much value. Or even like, yeah, but we – and when we yep. start engaging in the no and the yes buts, that natural defense starts to kick up in them as well. And I think, you know, right. it's not just language. You know, it's not just it's a small thing, but it's not a small thing to say, how do I phrase this in a way that acknowledges and works off them to maybe educate them or bring them around, rather than we're putting on gloves a little bit and knocking each other around a little bit.
Because we experience it in our own teams, right? In internal corporate teams, we see it a lot. And I don't mean to be going back and forth, but most people think of Amplified as team training, corporate training, right?
Sure.
Training internal teams. Also training that go-to-market team. Your engagements of your teammates or of your employees with your customers, that is also a team. And just like if a teammate, an internal teammate says no, and you reply with no, then all of a sudden, you know, this is a very elementary exercise. I won't say elementary exercise, but a fundamental exercise that we do when we warm up with teams is feeling that emotion of saying no back and forth and then turning it into yes. Same thing with customers. And what it does for salespeople too, not only better handles objections and stays in a positive conversation with a prospect or a prospective customer, it also allows them to hear more for an opportunity. Going back to qualification, it's if you're seeking to understand your client and actively listening to what they have to say, you'll find more opportunities for your product versus, and this is somewhat, you're going off, maybe sometimes going off script of your value proposition and being able to react to what the customer says to find an opportunity. And I'm trying to think of a good example, Chet. Do we have one? I mean,
well, you know, I just think, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily an example. I just recently worked with Keller Williams, which is a real estate company. And I think, well, what you're talking about has a lot. We talked a lot about it. They have certain scripts about how to engage in a conversation to deliver the value proposition of why you'd want to work with them. Or I've even worked with the Boston Celtics with their sales team as well. And they have a script of how to get into a conversation to try to develop season ticket holders and all of that. And I think one thing that they both have found value with is training and improvisation around what happens when the customer goes off script. You know, like they don't give you what you're expecting, or they take you down an avenue and you want to explore that to be able to really bond with that person or create empathy or explore it with them or maybe whatever it may be. In the back of your head, you might still need to want to get back to that script because you know that there's a script for a reason and some key points you want to make. But can you as effectively go off script, handle the curveballs, you know, think on your feet when the stuff happens or the feedback happens you weren't expecting? And so there's not necessarily a set example of that in what I just talked about, but I think it's more – you know, I think we've all been there when we're like, I've got my next great thing to say, and suddenly I'm hit with a curveball that I wasn't expecting. So how can I think on my feet and be adept at doing that as well? So I do think, you know, there's a lot of application to sales. And I think another quick thing I think is as just some advice is that we've talked with clients about as well is, you know, we talk a lot about the power of yes and trying to get to yes and I think there is a power to yes but before you go into the sale. You know, it is yes, but as the customer to yourself, you know, like preparing what are the objections that are going to come up? Like what? And then we've even worked with some sales teams where they get the same objection over and over. So as a team, we work with them and what's the best way to handle it? What's a good way to handle it? What's the best way to handle it? How do other people handle it? And then really drilling that down. So when those curveballs hit, they're ready to go rather than thrown by them. So, so yes, but can be a really effective tool, I think, in preparation for getting ready to yes and. So,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
It does. It does. Selling is understanding your value and being able to adapt that value to your buyer, right? Yeah. And understanding why it's important to your buyer. I think a lot of the times the value you mentioned of like being able to say yes and being able to react to the curveballs, a part of it too is separating the emotion of hearing no. you know, thinking on your, when you say thinking on your feet, reacting to what's thrown at you, that's a lot easier said than done.
Sure.
Because most people are like, well, you know, your product's not fast enough, or, you know, you have an the product's unhealthy, or I don't know. Like, there's so many different objections that, and I can't just lay a blanketed statement that covers every industry, right. Because it's applicable to any type of selling. It's being able to handle what your customer throws at you without getting emotional about it as well. Yeah. I would just add that piece to it, because an 85% failure rate is hard to handle, but that failure rate can go down and the success rate can go up when sales teams learn how do I manage my ego or keep my ego in check. And I do that by learning to think on my feet and adapt to what the customers have to say in their opinions and thoughts and objections and things
well,
of that nature.
You know, and I'll give you a quick real example. And this is something that happened back when I was sort of, you know, in corporate America, where we were launching a new product, and there was a particular large customer of ours that, you know, we would usually customize things for because of how important they were. So I won't put brand and company names in it, but that's kind of the scenario.
Smart.
And so I was kind of along, you know, I have an advertising and marketing background. And so I was along for that call, and our salesperson, you know, that we knew we had this great new product, and we knew that it was going to take, for the most part, about 6 weeks to ship. And we knew that if we needed to, particularly for this customer, we could offer a discount. You know, we could
you had done the yes, but exercise.
Yeah. Yes.
So we stated how could this conversation go? What concerns on timing could they have, and how could we respond? So you
sure,
were prepared.
Totally. So we were prepared. And yet our salesperson, I remember thinking, like, I just, you know, kind of watching this unravel in many ways. You know, said, here's the new product we have. Here's the deal we can put together. We can get it to you in 6 weeks. And the person, you know, here's what it costs. And the potential buyer said, you know, that's kind of expensive. You know, I really want to have it here first. I want to have it first. So I need it here sooner than 6 weeks. And so the seller, unfortunately, was so geared into they're going to have an issue with the price, or in their back pocket knew that they had a discount they could give, that to that statement said, well, since you're so important to us, we can give you a 20% off the price and make it work. But what they really failed to do is when they weren't really listening all the way through. They were kind of hearing, like, that's kind of expensive. I want to be the first one to launch it. And really what the customer's issue was, they wanted to be the first to have it. So they wanted it sooner.
Right.
They didn't. The price was, it was kind of a throwaway line. And so if you think about it, that salesperson, in my mind, maybe gave away 20% of the sale, because probably could have focused on the delivery time rather than the cost. And if anything, may have even been able to say, well, of course we want you to have it there first. You know, you're such an important customer to us, and we'll deliver it to you in 4 weeks. We're going to actually have to charge a little bit of a surcharge on that, though, to make sure that because our shipping
costs the extra.
It's going to cost the extra. Like, so I really said, they're like, not only did that person give away potentially 20% of the sale, they may have even been able to give away 30% of the sale, you know, because then, of course, the person reacted and said, well, I'll take the 20% off. That's great. I really appreciate that.
I still need,
it here in 4 weeks. And the person said, we'll do what we can to get it there. And so, you know, so it's just, I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, this yes and mindset, a lot of it is combined with listening and really reading the customer, because in that was a real world example where I just saw it happen. And just thinking, like, it's because, we did prepare and we did sort of think of the yes, but then, you know, I wasn't really a speaker in that, but I was sort of watching it go down and realizing. So maybe I had the benefit of reading the person and understanding, you know, the cues of what might be really important. But the salesperson did not see that and didn't really listen. And that's all they had to do was listen and read, and they could have gotten a better sale.
What's very interesting to me when we train sales teams is, one, how we, you know, we can help a sales team and a sales manager, VP, chief revenue officer understand, one, the culture of their team, but two, like, how does our team react and how do they respond to our customers in a campaign? And are we addressing our customers appropriately? Are we listening to them? Are we gathering the right information? Because I'll tell you this, there's nothing more valuable to a sales organization than customer feedback and prospect feedback. And the better the team listens, the better as a whole they can go to market and sell, because the sales team can learn and develop more for their market. But it's always interesting to see how their emotions are hurt when we go through the no exercises.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then how, you know, the epiphanies they get when we put them in the buyer seat in our exercises and start to realize, oh, this is how my peer who's role-playing the salesperson is not listening to me, do I do that too? Have I missed these opportunities? I think you brought up an objection that most sellers hear, right? Price. Yeah.
And, well, and you're geared for it, so you almost are. You almost, as soon as you hear it, you just latch onto it because you're so used to hearing it, right?
Yeah, we can come back to it. I'm sorry, there was one other point too that is fascinating with salespeople is, as we're going through these exercises, they start to work that muscle of yes and the mind, the muscle and the mindset of yes and you start to see it taking form, and then all of a sudden there's like not a minute, but about a 5 second pause in between the customer's comments in our exercises and the seller's comments. They take more time to process, understand, and you can see the mindset changing in real time to say, how do I yes and this to keep the customer on my side and I stay on the customer side and we work toward the right deal.
Yeah, I think it's so fun to watch. And I think it's to your point about people getting frustrated with the no, and in the exercise we do, there aren't any stakes involved. It's right. Like literally just a conversation, and yet you get frustrated with it, right? Then emotion, later on,
emotion
stakes,
happens.
You know,
we're emotional beings.
It is crazy, you know. And I think a lot of the other thing that our training gets at for sales folks, and that I always like to watch as well, is just the idea of reading people too, like you know, understanding that you may have a customer that just wants to get down to the brass tacks. What do you got? How much is it going to cost? And you have other ones that may want to really connect with you because they feel like if you connect with me, you're going to take care of me and the pricing is the price, whatever. So like, how do I, you know, I might be one way or the other. I might be the type of person that doesn't like to talk about all the stuff I've done in my family and this and that. I just want to get down to the sale. And yet I might be with somebody that really wants to just connect. And I've got to read those moments of, oh, they want to connect right now. So I need to do that. In the back of my head, I got to get around to the sale, but I got to give some time to this. Or if I try that connection and they don't buy, they're not biting. They're just like, look, I got 5 minutes, get down to it. I got to shift and stop talking about their ski trip and get to the deal. So
Steve Powell, previous podcast and interview that we did, that was so much fun. He's like, he knows, you know, Eric understood I was an I person. So we kind of shot the breeze a little bit. Right. And warmed him up and engaged in that. And I got to say, on the complete flip side, I have an example too in the tech world where on the flip side of like the banter and getting to know somebody, I was on a demo with a client that just wanted to get down to the brass tacks of the product. Like, here's our pain point. Here's our issue. And the seller, it wasn't me, but I've had my fair share of not listening to my customers. And if they're listening, please don't comment and tell me it was you. So the product, we were at the point of demoing the product to the buyer. And after the demo, he said, you know, this looks great. This looks like it can fit. And for some reason, I think I forget what the objection was. It was very minor objection. But they got to the point where the customer said, we want to move forward. This is great. You know, we like to look at pricing and ultimately buy it. And I knew they had the budget for it. The seller kept digging into the customer, like wanted to overanalyze everything from the, like almost, hey, how did you get here? It's like, and I was on my phone.
So much, you've got the sale. It's like, stop talking. Like, you've got the sale.
You got to yes. Just say, okay, we'll provide you. But you kept digging, you kept digging, you kept digging to the point where the customer got frustrated. They dug into everything from like, have they looked at any other technologies? Does this, you know, go above and beyond? And all this.
Did you check our competitors?
You know, I swear, I was just like, I think not only does he want the sale, he wants to stroke the ego of like, were we better than everybody else too? And I was just like, oh man, just you've already got the close. Now you just got to kind of close the door. So we'll get you the quote. How long do you need to process the order? If you have any questions, let's get together and talk about it.
I totally get it. I've been in
those rooms
too.
The customer wanted to get off the phone 20 minutes earlier than they actually got off the phone with this sales demo. And the salesperson was pushing for a follow-up demo to go deeper. And the client had already asked for a quote. And I'm like, oh my God, it was the customer actually got back to us and said, we actually don't want to look at that product any further. They went from a yes to a no just because they weren't listening in reacting to the buyer's persona and what they were saying.
Yeah. I think that's been there. We're like, well, I have three other points I need to make about it. And like, you don't. No, you don't.
Yeah.
the sale.
As the seller, you definitely don't need to give 3 cents. Just give two. Because that's all the customer asked for. He or she will throw some objections at you. But that's it. And you got to learn to handle those. But yeah, I've seen it's overselling, right? Sometimes that's another issue sales teams have. Sometimes they oversell to fulfill ego or whatever, right? I don't know why, maybe. But
well, and I've been on the other end of it. And like, I've been on the other end of it. And it is as I'm like, oh, now I'm you're not picking up. You're not connecting with me anymore.
Right.
So I don't want to work with you. You know, like, because I can find another vendor, like, but because we're not connecting because you're not reading my signals. I don't want to have to do that every time we get together. So I now no longer want to work with you.
And if you're a VP of sales or a CRO, sometimes it is overtraining on sales methodology and process, right? If you're giving your team scripts or you're saying, hey, follow this process, they admittedly, and I've been there, feel bad or feel like they need to go through the process that you've assigned, or that I won't say you as the executive leader, but the business has assigned as the sales process, and they don't go through it and they don't fill out every field in Salesforce. You're going to come down their street. So sometimes it's navigating, like, what are the emotional drivers for a salesperson? What are the internal pressures as well as the external pressures? And improvisation is the most highly pressured environment you'll be in, from getting up, being on your feet, no script, and coming up with something funny. That's why this training gets so to the heart of selling, and why it's such in demand for sales trainings. If we can help your team at all with sales training and building the sales culture to be more customer focused, we will help you drive additional sales, higher close rates, higher deals, get your salespeople listening and responding to customers better, and you'll gain more knowledge about your product, your service as well, and just will drive this cyclical improvement to the whole go-to-market strategy. Chad, this was fun to spitball with you on selling it.
I think we covered it. I mean, you know, obviously we kind of customized it. You know, when it comes to actually working with clients, we customize things a little more and like figure out what those curveballs are, where those objections are. So, man, I like working with all kinds of different clients, and sales teams are definitely one of them, because I think you know, they want to be better at what they're doing, and it's kind of fun to have them see those moments where they may see how they can do things a little bit better, or have just slightly different mindset to drive things even further. So I love it.
Gang, thanks for listening to the Amplified podcast. Check us out at Amplified Team, amplifiedteam.com, on LinkedIn, Amplified Team Training. That's where we're posting a lot of our events, and on Twitter and Instagram at Think Amplified, Think Amped. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next podcast.